Pockets were so shallow.
House State Administration will come to order. Secretary will please call the roll.
Representative O'Hara. Representative Dickinson.
Here.
Representative Bean.
Here.
Representative Belcourt.
Excused.
Representative Bonick. Representative Bostrives.
Here.
Representative Brown.
Here.
Representative Cafaro.
Here.
Representative Hands. Representative Hendrick. Representative Ingraham.
Here.
Representative McLaren. Representative Malik.
Here.
Representative Phillips.
Excused.
Representative Van Dyke.
Excused.
Representative Washburn.
Here.
Representative Wilmer.
She's here.
Chairman Himmelberger.
Thank you.
And Tony.
Belcourt's here.
Committee, let's start. We're going to take executive action on Senate Bill 495. And then we'll visit with our Secretary of State.
Mr. Chair, I move do concur with Senate Bill 495.
Thank you, Representative Bean. We have a do concur on Senate Bill 495. It's President Story's bill on kind of clarifying the term limit issue. Discussion. Representative Brown, are you discussing?
Is this the chart used for this, Mr. Chair? Yes. So it should say 495?
Yeah, yeah. That's correct, Representative. Yes.
Thank you.
Brown.
Close.
Yes. Representative Wilmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman of the Committee. For purposes of discussion, let's get it started. You probably got all the same emails I got from constituents that said, don't end term limits, to which I tried to respond with a little bit of education about the fact that this just shifted the terms of the term limits. If and when we get a good term limit proposal before the voters, and if we work really hard, maybe as former legislators at the time, to educate voters about the consequences of term limits, there's a chance we might have a second meaningful discussion, public debate in the state about term limits, but I don't think this will do it. I think if we have that discussion around this amendment and it passes, it's going to close the door on any possible future, obviously, amendments that might actually allow a fuller hearing of the issues and a better decision about how to amend the Constitution to eliminate term limits. I don't know if that's how you all felt about the Konauer bill. I think we talked about if we could have just stricken the statewides from that, we might have had a clearer bill that could get this public discussion going around a meaningful term limit amendment. But I just don't think this is the one. It just changes the terms of the term limits. It's a little bit better, but not good enough.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, boy, I hate to bring forth one of these bills without some real clear language. I'm nervous about this one. I would hope that we could just pass this by a huge majority in both the House and the Senate and be a bill and it all be over with and done with so we didn't have to put it forth to the voters. Mm-hmm. That's my comment.
Vice Chair Dickinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. During the special session, we actually expanded the scope of it just a wee bit to consider a bill on term limits in the joint House-Senate State Administration Committee. And there was a lot of support for ending term limits in that gathering. But the thing we came away with, and of course we were very limited because of the scope of the special session, how much we really thought we could do or wanted to do beyond the originally intent of getting together, but the consensus from that joint group at that time was that if this was going to happen, it had to be a grassroots origin of it, not from us. That if the folks out there, and there was the Chamber of Commerce, the labor unions, the League of Women Voters, I think the conservation voters, I can't remember, there were several groups really in favor of ending term limits. And the consensus from the committee was then go do your work, get a petition going, make this happen. It should come from the grassroots. It shouldn't come from us because it's maybe thought to look self-serving or whatever. So I think I would agree with both Representative Brown and Wilmer. This bill, to me, is real confusing. And I think it'll be confusing to the electorate. And I really think if we're going to end term limits, which I think I'd be in favor of, but I think if it comes from the grassroots, that's how it's going to be successful. And so I would also be opposing this bill. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. In committee, it seems like some of the discussion is going towards that we're trying to do away with term limits or something here. I just want to point out at this stage that all this bill is trying to do is to clarify what the intent of the original term limit bill was. And what we've got here right now is there's been an interpretation made on existing term limit laws that have disallowed, you know, we think that you can serve four terms and then you can sit out four terms and then you can come back. Well, you know, currently you can't, it comes down to the interpretation has been that you're not allowed to run for that office until that time has expired. So in essence, you actually end up sitting out for an extra 2 years, or in the case of the Senate, which is even more detrimental in my mind, you end up sitting out for four additional years. So I just want to make sure we're on track here, that this bill really isn't attempting to overturn term limits doing anything of the nature. And I do appreciate what committee members have said, that I would not disagree that there is there could be some confusion here. But again, I do think that the debate is on whether we want to try to clarify that language or not. Representative Brown.
Mr. Chair, and I believe we do want to clarify the language, but my whole point in my discussion was let's do it without putting it to the voters. We know the policy. We know what it is. We're not doing anything with term limits. We're clarifying what those limits are. And I'll be voting for this bill, but I wish that we would just eliminate taking it to the voter and just overwhelmingly agree that this is good policy.
Thank you, Representative Brown. Point taken. Further discussion? Seeing none. Roll call vote. Do concur, Senate Bill 495.
Representative O'Hara?
Yes.
Representative Dickinson?
No.
Representative Bean?
Yes.
Representative Belcourt? Representative Bonick?
Yes.
Representative Bostridge?
No.
Representative Brown?
Yes.
Representative Farrell?
No.
Representative Hands?
No, by proxy for Representative Hands.
Representative Hendrick?
Yes.
Representative Ingraham?
No.
Representative McLaren?
Yes.
Representative Malik?
No.
Representative Phillips?
No, by proxy, Representative Phillips.
Representative Van Dyke?
No, by proxy.
Representative Washburn?
Yes.
Representative Wilmer? Chairman Himmelberger?
Yes.
Motion fails. Committee, I noticed that we have been assigned another resolution, so we'll be scheduling that for sometime next week after we get back. And it is one on study the work comp rates. It's Senator Zinke's bill, but I believe it's the one that we've talked about before, which means that I think it was Senator Perry's draft request. So we may want to be thinking about that and whether we want to go down the road of the bonuses with the trying to incorporate that in this resolution. So I'm just planting a little seed here that you can think about over your long weekend.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Belcourt.
Mr. Chair, I know my attendance policy here. We're at State Admin, but are we coming back Tuesday morning, or what's your plans?
No. Representative Belcourt, we're scheduled to go on the floor on Tuesday at 1, so we won't schedule a committee meeting Tuesday morning. That way you can travel back on Tuesday if you choose to do so in the morning. So the very earliest we would meet would be Wednesday.
Okay.
And we'll see how the schedule evolves there. Okay. Representative Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. After Representative Hunter's bill, I requested some information from the state fund. Did all of you get copies of that? With your permission, I'd like to have that copied. It talks about what percentage of bonuses and all of that stuff, so that you can look it over before we hear that, and I'll have that distributed to the committee on Tuesday, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
That'd be great. Thank you, Representative Brown. Okay, if there isn't further discussion on anything else, we'll invite Secretary of State McCullough up to the podium, if you will, and we've invited the Secretary of State, and she's been gracious enough to accept the invitation, and we'd like to visit a bit about the redesign of the, I guess, absentee ballot notifications. So with that, Secretary McCullough, would you like to give us a little opening here?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would indeed. We actually went back after we discussed Senate Bill 276 when it was here in your good discussion and good ideas. And I have for you some handouts, if I might pass those out. The first two, would that be okay, Mr. Chair?
Absolutely.
The first two are ones that you have already seen. They are these two that I'm passing, or the one I'm passing out right now, the following one, are old. They're the ones that are in existence right now, just so you can see what. Ones that are current. And then I'm going to pass out for you copies of just, these are just our first drafts of what we thought we might make some changes in the two forms. The two new ones. They say wrapped in red at the top. So the first two old ones are the application form for an absentee ballot and then the confirmation form that we talked about. And you'll see when you get the two new ones that say red draft at the top. Well, I think you'll see the first kind of large change is we took the word permanent out of the form, which ought to take care of some questions right there. And then, again, this is just our first draft, so any comments today at the committee, at the hearing, or any time after would be appreciated. But you'll also see in some of the areas that we have highlighted and bolded to make sure that folks know, for instance, on the confirmation sheet, that this is for elections held February 1st, 2010 through January 31st, 2011. So we give them the year. We put it in bold there. We then again, right below where they have to check to see if it's the correct address, we again put in bold the 1 year that we have. I think we're also going to go to, in the first sentence, you are currently registered as an annual absentee elector, of putting annual bold and maybe even in all caps or something. And then, of course, the insert label here would be the label that the county election official puts on. So you can see where that's the changes there. And you can see some similar changes in language on the application form for the absentee ballots where, you know, they have an option of annual absentee list, and then we put in that language in that. It's kind of the middle of the page where there's a box, and we put, I understand I must complete and return an annual address confirmation card to remain on the absentee list. So, again, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is sort of our first draft
of what we thought we might do to clean up those. And I have to, you know, give the credit for this, as you all well know, to my elections deputy, Lisa Kimmett.
Very good.
Right on. And thank you, Secretary of State McCullough. So we'll open it up to discussion, suggestions, whatever is the committee's wish here. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just looking at this from a purely knowing anytime you put in specifics on these things, sometimes you can miss one. Perhaps up there at the top when you the first February 1, 2010 through January 31, 2011, maybe that should be really big. And then the rest of the time you say these elections. Instead of having to change the form in three different parts.
Which form are you looking at?
I'm in the draft annual.
You're in the on the confirmation sheet.
Confirmation, I'm sorry, yes.
So the first, February 1st of 2010 through January 31st, really big.
Yeah, really big, okay. And then from then on put in these elections.
Instead of putting in the February to January?
Yeah, because everybody, I mean, then you only have to change it once instead of three times, and somebody may be missing out on a form. You know, say
we were afraid if we didn't specifically put it in there repetitively. Remember the whole thing with children is if you don't repeat it three times, I think that's actually with adults too, three times they might miss it. So we wanted to make sure that there were three times we put that specific February to January on the sheet just in case they missed the bold at the beginning. They'd have two more times to catch up, so.
I think it may be more the case with adults than with children.
I was reluctant to say that in front of a legislative committee, so.
Also on that line right below, in that first, that top gray box, when it says, if it is, let's define it.
Okay, that makes sense.
If this is the correct address, sign below or whatever, but clarify. It sometimes.
No, I totally agree, yep.
Other comments?
Totally agree.
No. Oh, it's at the bottom.
Says red.
No, it's different.
Up there at the top, the first. Let me see your sheet.
There are some other ones over here. Maybe they needed to go all the way around and I.
Yes.
Well, I can see where you're coming from.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
It must have been Sherry's fault.
She wasn't there to pass it on.
That's why I'm blaming her. And poor Sherry.
Okay. Now we're there. All right.
One at the top says draft Montana application for absentee ballots. So that's the initial application. Then the other one will say draft Montana annual absentee address confirmation. So the differences are one's an application, one's the confirmation. Does everybody have it now? I put them all around, so.
Chairman Hillman-Booger.
Actually, Representative Wilmer is next.
One of the great joys of being in a state this size is that the Secretary of State and the committee and the legislature can talk about these things. We're not trying to micromanage. I hope you know that. But
no, we appreciate. No, we appreciate.
All decisions are so constructive that they go nowhere without your input. On the application, the initial application for absentee ballot, I wonder if you think it would be helpful to have that as a separate sentence and a box by it where they have to check that they have, that means I have read the statement, I understand this. It's not just a bolded sentence at the end of a paragraph that they could easily skip over. Does that make
sense
to you?
Yep, we sure can. It'll cost more. I mean, the only reason why you see draft in red is because we were able to just, you know, copy the few of these on our machine. But if two-color printing was, it will double the cost, and we'd hate for counties to have to do that. So even though it is a very good idea.
Representative Wilmer?
A follow-up might be, I mean, you can play around with this, if that box and that statement might be next to the signature or somewhere where it's absolutely distinct and you don't sign it till you've signed that, acknowledging that you understand you're going to get the second form every year. you know, this address confirmation.
Good point.
Okay.
Representative Hans, did you still, you had your hand up earlier.
Well, I did. I just want to thank you, Mr. Chairman and Secretary of State McCullough. The one thing that I noticed, I really, really appreciate the work that's gone into this because it's so much improved. But I just had a question because in the previous form, they did ask for an optional phone number in case the county clerk and recorders need to contact the elector. And I just wonder if that should be included. Because right now you're confirming their addresses. This is on the annual absentee address confirmation. And my only reason for asking that is that, you know, considering some of the stuff that we're talking about doing in the future and the need for county clerk and recorders to be able to contact an elector, it might be nice to make sure we include that.
There wasn't any reason we left that off.
Let me just make sure. Actually, I don't see it on the old, I don't see a phone number on the old form.
The phone number, it says at the very bottom, please include your phone number so we can reach you if we need to. This is one of the ones we received during a hearing. It's an old one.
So probably, so perhaps the county, probably the county election official added that on. So which makes me think if it was important to the county election official to have it, it's probably a very good idea. So there's no reason why we can't put that on, is there, Lisa? Okay. So on the confirmation ad.
And make it optional because not everybody wants to put their phone number.
Right, right.
Representative Washburn.
Okay, good idea.
Mr. Chairman, on the application for absentee ballot, I wondered why you went with other rather than all. On where you check up, you check off primary, general, municipal, or other. Question, why don't we just put all so they can check one box and get them all?
Well, primary general.
That's for a single election to be held on date.
Could be just a. Yeah, could be an SID or something.
For a single election.
Yeah. She's thinking, I can tell. How about we say, how about we make that note and then figure out if we can do that or it's the best way? And actually, Pat looks like she has some information.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, committee members, this is an application for an absentee ballot. It is used for people that, for all absentee requests, if you check it to be permanent, you can be permanent. But this is for people that like to go to the polls, and we still have polls, and they just found out they can't be in town. So this is truly what absentee ballots were. And you wouldn't want to take that out because I may only want to do it for the primary or for my fire district or my special election. So you need that there because you're only doing it for the one election. This is a multi-form that fits a lot of needs. So you wouldn't want to narrow the scope to just one box.
And they have the opportunity here to check them all if they want to have them all. So that, good point. Okay.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Secretary McCulloch, I'm on the same sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down below the center of the page under the optional absentee list, mm-hmm. whatever. Those two boxes, each subsequent election, or each subsequent federal election only. Should we specify what those subsequent elections are? I guess I'm scratching my head saying, what does that mean? I know what federal election only means, but should we say all subsequent elections or
just take the each off?
Or, yeah. But I understand federal, but I didn't understand the top box.
Okay. We can clean that up, can't we? Yeah. Okay.
Representative Ingraham.
Mr. Chairman and Secretary of State McCullough, just a note in case I'm not sure where and when you'll end up working on these, but at the very top on your application for absentee ballot, in the little black box near the very corner, submit completed form no sooner than 75 days. Hopefully your bill for 85 days passes, and I just want to make sure that you recognize that that will may not be a correct number and not to get lost in the shuffle. I mean, I'm sure you'd be aware of it, but sometimes the obvious is overlooked.
It's very much appreciated that you brought that up, and it will be on my note. And then, you know, also, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we should say that, you know, we did this draft as a result of conversations in this committee, but, you know, surely it will be our practice to, before putting these out, to run these through clerks and recorders, election officials, to see if there are any other changes that need to be made. It would be silly not to take advantage of that.
Representative Bonnick.
Mr. Chairman, Secretary of State McCulloch, on the application for absentee ballot, third highlighted box down, optional absentee ballot list. On the boxes below, I agree with what you have there. Each subsequent election, I understand that means that if an election comes up, I would like to get a ballot for that election. Not everybody knows all the special elections. And and then a point on, in the middle of that highlighted section, as long as I complete and return a confirmation card mailed to me by the county election official or election office each year, the question might arise, when could I expect that card? I'm not sure if that needs
and
to be clarified.
When are they typically mailed?
Beginning of the year, January, something like that. People will be wondering when they would find that.
Yeah. So, we certainly can specify. Let's write that down. Mr. Chair, Representative Bonnick, that's a good idea. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions?
This is a great start.
Representative Hendrick.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Secretary of State McClellan, is there any chance that you could, in that bottom column down there on your application for the absentee ballot, at the bottom, I still see, I mean, you've got right here the signature of elector and date signed, in dark bold. And I think that you need to do the same in that box down in the corner. Anything that you can do to get them to realize what they're signing there in the dark bold.
So you're talking about bolding?
Yes.
Like this language right here?
Yeah, or this right here, either way, so they understand what they're actually signing.
Okay. So draw attention.
Yeah, and that needs to be, that's okay. An important factor of the whole thing here, I do believe.
Okay.
And make it easier for them to understand, I think. That's just one of my points. Thank you.
Okay. Maybe we'll put little stars or something.
A gold star.
Little flowers.
We should put the little gold star.
Yes, right.
Any other comments, questions, discussion? Nope. Seeing none.
So thank you. Good job.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for meeting us.
Yes, and thank you, Ms. Kimmett. We appreciate your efforts and your willingness to take in some suggestions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Might I just add, in case I don't see you all again, that it has been a pleasure having a different committee, different group of faces to see this session, and you have been a good committee to work with, and it's been fun. Not to say that I don't think it's time for you to go home, but
it'd be nice. It would be nice. Yeah.
As I'm sure you feel the same way, too.
Yes, you do.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Dickinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we adjourn, are there any questions you have about our wonderful dinner, which is planned the Tuesday we come back from Easter vacation? Don't let it slip your consciousness that we're going to have a nice dinner that night. Any questions or concerns? If you want to carpool out to meet at the security desk at 5:40, otherwise it's 6 o'clock at the restaurant.
Okay.
Pardon me? It's the RJS Montana Steakhouse at Clancy. So it is a bit of a drive.
Chairman recommended it, and it sounded good to us.
It's right next to the stockyards.
No.
They specialize in fresh beef.
Yeah, they do, right off the river track.
I'm fairly certain they do, but not a little short of being positive. But
do we need to pay now?
Not necessarily, you know.
If you paid your $5 for the other.
Yeah, I need to do that.
Event, or that could be that night, too. And if you're bringing a guest, you're not expected to pay $5 twice. It's just for you is all, is the $5, so.
Right.
And we're going to have some fun, so don't come feeling serious.
Are we going to pin the tail on the donkey?
Or spin the bottle or something, I don't know. They had a very interesting menu, and you can go online and look at it. They have lots of things to choose from.
For carpooling, that's what I'm
sure. Yeah. Where Clancy is, it's south on the interstate, about 10 miles.
Ford Butte.
Ford Butte. Right. And I'm planning to carpool with Betsy, yeah, perhaps.
Okay.
So others, you know, let's get together at the security desk and try to go.
Yeah, I'd like to carpool.
Makes sense.
And as I recall, when you get off the exit, you turn, well, it's very close to the exit, but I think you have to turn right to maneuver around there to get into it.
It's a big building with a blue roof. That's what the lady told me. So if you could let me know today or Representative O'Hara that you're coming, we can give her a fairly definite number, although it doesn't have to be in blood, but at least we know generally how many of us will be there.
What's wrong with blood?
We'll be at the game tonight.
That's right. That's going to be fun.
Any other committee business? Members, especially for the freshmen, don't forget that there's kind of an orientation going on at 11 on the interim committees and the I think just the interim in general.
Yes.
I can't remember what room. I think it's one of the big rooms on the first floor.
137, I believe.
It's one of those committee rooms downstairs. You'll find it if you. But I think it. I just would recommend that you consider dropping by there.
Yep.
Seeing no further business, committee is adjourned. I hope everyone has a wonderful Easter break.
Not a freshman. You're done.
I'm gonna go call my daughter and wish her a happy birthday.
Oh, wow.
Break. Not a freshman. You're done.
I'm gonna go call my daughter and wish her a happy birthday.
Oh, wow.